From time to time, we will use people in the band who are unchurched. I mean, we have a lot of worship services, and so sometimes we need to hire somebody. And so we have mainly unpaid professionals, but occasionally, you know, we just need a drummer, and, you know, all of our drummers are out. I mean, I don't know, you know, it just happens. So we'll hire a drummer. Well, every once in a while, we'll find somebody we really like. And they'll actually become a volunteer at our church, even though they're not a Christian. So what we have as a process is that after they've been drumming for a period of time, let's say 3 months would be a good period of time, we have a conversation with them about where they are in their spiritual walk. And they get under the care of our worship arts pastor. And part of his job is every 3 months to have a conversation with people in the band who are lost. And then that's, a lot of times, that's how they come to faith in Christ. Because they wouldn't unless somebody really shepherded them. So you just take that and you multiply that out. Now, we would never allow an unchurched person to serve in the children's area. You know, that's a members area. That's a Christian area. We might allow them to do setup and tear down in the Christian, in the children's area. We might allow them to come in during the week and clean that up, you know, but we're not allowed that to happen. I don't allow unchurched people to count the offering. They can collect the offering. I'm just not going to let them count the offering. So, you know, you get to divide that, but you get to decide what areas of your church you're going to allow. And for a lot of churches, you could increase your ministry system and increase your evangelism potential by allowing unchurched people to do low-level stuff inside the church. Just my talk on it. We'll come back to that more with the leadership ladder. Now, the next section goes by pretty fast, but let's look at it. And there's the one big thing I want to talk about is the principle of the chain. I wanted to get a big chain. You know how hard that is to find in the city? Like, people thought I was crazy. I'm like, I'm looking for like a big chain. They started backing away, like, you know, back away. But I even went to Lowe's, you know. I thought, well, I could go down to Lowe's and get, I wanted like a chain like you would use to pull a car onto a tow truck. That's kind of what I was looking for, one of those big kind of things. I couldn't find anything like that. The only chains I could find were sissy chains. So you just have to visualize this in your mind. But I'll get to that in a moment. Letter B, how to create first serve opportunities for new ministry positions. So now you want to get new people involved in new positions. Number one, identify specific underserved needs in your church. Specific underserved needs in your church. So if you want to get new people involved in serving, first thing you have to do is, where do we want them to serve? I call this the blanks on a page strategy. That is, you develop an area and you say, this is where we need people to serve. Let me give you an illustration of this. Back in the day, you know, our staff and our office manager folded all the bulletins for Sunday. I mean, it's just how we did it. It was pretty simple. You know, we run 100, 200 bulletins, we'd fold them all. But then, you know, as the church grows, that becomes problematic, you know? And so we were in this position where we either had to hire people or we had to beg people to come in to serve. And so the first thing we did is we said, okay, what we need is we need volunteers to come in and help us get ready for Sunday. We were a portable church then, we're a portable church now. And so we have to pack all this. I mean, that's what you see in this room. Most of the stuff in this room is stuff that we pack on Sunday and we load out on vans. And so, you know, now it's like a, you know, it looks like a carnival coming to town with trucks and, you know, transfer trailers and elephants and monkeys on tricycles. And that's just the teaching team. And, but we identified that. So we created a sheet of paper, you know, that said, you know, volunteer position, you know, bulletin stuffers. We call them programs, but, you know, program stuffers. And so we began to identify that was an underserved need. And we thought, well, how many people do we need? So we put four blanks on a page, four blanks on a page. And that's how we started. We identified specifically. The key to new ministry positions is clarity. Clarity. What exactly do you need? A lot of churches say, we need a lot more people to serve around here. Well, how many? And where? And what do you want them to do? And for how long? So clarity is very important. Clarity is also the key to making your volunteers happy. Your volunteers want to please you. They just don't know how. And so clarity is the holy grail of the ministry system. And I'll say more about that later. And then what you do, number two, is you create a one-time opportunity to meet this need. A one-time opportunity to meet this need. Now, you're going to see later, I don't like the word need, but for now, it's a need. You need people. So what I did is, let me give you number three, and I'll explain. You personally recruit people to serve in this new ministry position. Personally recruit. One of the most underestimated tools you have in your arsenal is your ability to personally recruit. How many of you have a background in sales? All right. That actually helps you a lot in ministry because a salesperson knows how to prospect. And, you know, to prospect, first thing you do, you've got to qualify the prospect. Because, you know, if they can't fold a sheet of paper, they can't be on this team. You know, then you have to make sure, you know, they've got the ability to complete the task or to pay for it, if that's how it would be. And then you get them involved. You got to close the sale. You got to make the ask. You know, and a good salesperson says, wouldn't you like to come and make a difference in our church by folding bulletins on Thursday evening? They don't say, you wouldn't want to come and help out on Thursday, would you? You know, they don't say it that way. They know how to close that deal. So you've got to learn how to do this. I call it learning to be a master asker. Very hard for me to say, if you know of my speech impediment. A master asker. You've got to personally recruit. And then once you do that, you cast the vision for continuing the new ministry. Let me explain all of that with my bulletin stuffing analogy. And again, I'm giving you these simple little analogies like, you know, the sign guy and the bulletin, but you can multiply this into your area. I'm just trying to keep it real light. So I needed people to help stuff the bulletins. You know, I was getting paper cuts, you know, keeping my time away from TV, and so I had to get some help. And so I got to watch a lot of TV. It's just part of who I am. So I needed these people to come in and help me. So we created this one-time opportunity. We said on Thursday night, not like every night, just one time. On Thursday night, we're going to have a party. We're going to have a party here at the office, and it's going to be from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and I'm looking for 4 people who want to come be a part of this party. We're going to put a movie up on the television screen. I'm going to provide some finger foods, and we're going to fold the bulletins and stuff the programs for Sunday, and then we're going to take them down and load them in the van. And I emailed this out to some people in our church. I emailed some second-time guests. I emailed some members who I knew were not involved in serving. I had about, 16, 18 people that I emailed as part of this. And then I got on the phone personally recruiting, because I had a couple of school teachers that had told me they wanted to volunteer if I needed them. So I kind of had them over here in my back pocket. We hadn't really signed them up. I just knew they needed them. So I called them and I said, look, maybe you could come by. You're better organized than I am. You guys come here like at 4 when you get off work, and maybe you can start making the copies, and I'll try to get some more volunteers to come in. And somebody asked me, what are you going to call this? I said, I don't know what we're going to call it. Let's just call it Super Service Thursday. It's going to be this big party. And so we did it, and it worked, and people came. And we folded bulletins, stuffed them, put them all in the thing, put them out in the vans, and, 14 or 15 of us, we made it happen pretty fast. And then after it was over, I brought everybody together, and you cast the vision for continuing this new ministry. And I taught them the principle of the chain. And the principle of the chain says that everything you do, every volunteer position, is a link in the chain of someone to coming to faith in Jesus Christ. You see where I'm going with this? So let's look at this chain. On the right-hand side, just go ahead and write Jesus Christ. On the left-hand side, write, an unchurched person. If it's the person beside you, just put their name. Actually, I thought that would have been a little funnier. Thank you for laughing, sir. I appreciate that. You're the one guy who got it. Okay. If you don't want to write their name, just draw an arrow in their direction. Okay. Now, we know it takes multiple steps for a person to come to Christ. Now, the problem with people coming in on Thursday night and folding the bulletins is they don't immediately see a person coming to Christ. So I have to tell them. I have to say, look, the bulletin that you folded on Sunday is going to be the bulletin that's going to go in the hand of this unchurched person. And those message notes from my sermon that you stuffed in there are going to be the very notes that they use to take notes on the scripture and learn about Jesus Christ. And that connection card that you put in there is going to be the connection card that this first-time person fills out. And so you are a link in that chain. And you do that with every single ministry position in your church. When somebody comes to Christ and they've got kids back in the children's area, go back in the children's area and say, guess what, guys and ladies, while you were back here keeping this child, their mom or dad was coming to faith in Christ out there. And so you had a part in that. And so you've got to always tie this together. That's what vision is. Vision is tying the steps of ministry to the chain of a person coming to Christ. And you just do that over and over. And sometimes we forget to do this, but it's a very important step. So this is why you tell your worship team every week how many people came to Christ last week, because they were the ones up and doing that. This is why you tell your volunteers about the next steps and about the surveys that we talk about in the assimilation seminar. It's the chain of salvation. And so of that 15 or 16 people that were sitting there on that Thursday night, 3 or 4 of them got it. They're like, wow, I could never preach. I could never sing on Sunday. I can never work in the children's area because of my, work schedule, but I can come on Thursday nights and I can fold these bulletins that these unchurched people are going to use to take notes on, and then that's going to lead them to coming to faith in Christ. And when you tie it to that chain, it attracts people to that ministry. Make sense? And here's the thing. You have to do that over and over and over and over. How many Thursday nights do you have to remind the people folding the bulletins that they're a link in the chain? Every Thursday night. One, there's new people there. By the way, we still have Super Service Thursday. It's been going on now for 4 or 5 years. It's one of the most successful volunteer nights that we have. In fact, tonight, after this seminar, we will turn this room around and we'll set this up into a volunteer night. And there'll be movies up on the big screen. There'll be food that they bring now. We don't provide it anymore. They bring it. And they'll have a big party out here. And they'll stuff, you know, 1,400, 1,500 programs. And they'll get everything in the loadout areas. And tonight, the trucks will come by. And in the morning, more trucks will come by. And we'll load that thing up. And that's just part of the deal. And here's the last step on it at the bottom. Create a specific serving, what's the word? Time frame for the new position. So when I ask people to serve, I don't ask them to serve forever. I just ask them to serve for that period. Okay. Hopefully that's been helpful. We got just about 5 more minutes left on this section. Then we're going to take a break. And after the break, we're going to talk about the ministry ladder. But first, let me cover this. Why you never need a volunteer. I want you to see need as a four-letter word. In all of my seminars, I try to give you a four-letter word. In the launch seminar, the four-letter word is core. You don't need no core groups, but you never need a volunteer. The reason why is need is like a hasty shortcut for telling your people you haven't thought out what the position really does. So when people get up on Sunday and they say, we need workers in the children's area, how does that sound to all the unchurched parents who are sitting out there? Yeah, what? I don't want to take my kids back there. They're just recruiting from the stage, you know. And whenever you use the word need, it's kind of like in a sermon if you ever use the word things. Whenever somebody says, I want to give you three things, that just told me they didn't really think through what those three things really are. Because are they three steps? Are they three actions? Are there three decisions? You know, what are they? So need is sometimes is a shortcut we use. But need is like one of those words that causes problems in people's minds. So you never need a volunteer. You have an opportunity for somebody to serve. So we have a great opportunity for about four folks who really love God and want to use their gifts of administration to come on Thursday night and be a part of what I call Super Service Thursday, one of the most exciting nights in our church, where we all get together, we watch movies, we have some food, but we also prepare all the materials that we're going to use on Sunday to help people grow in their faith and come to Christ. Or we need four people to come by the church office from 4 to 7 on Thursday and help out the staff. Which one would you rather be a part of? So you got to think it through. You got to think it through. So you got to write the headline. If it wouldn't sell in a classified ad, it's probably not going to sell from stage on Sunday. So you never need a volunteer. Just get rid of the word need. It's a bad little shortcut that we often use. Now, here are some ideas for both A and B. So here are some ideas that will both get new people involved in new positions and get new people involved in current positions. Pretty quick. Number one, preach on ministry, serving, and volunteering. Preach on it. Don't underestimate the power of the pulpit. So how often should you preach on the need for volunteering? Now, you don't get up and preach on the need for volunteering. You get up and preach on the call to become a servant, Christ-likeness. You preach on servanthood. And you say, look, part of servanthood is discovering your gifts, getting involved in serving. You preach on this. Well, I think you should do it in January. Pre-summer is a good time to serve and preach on it. And then pre-fall is a good time. And then every 3 years, I would encourage you to do an entire series on ministry. I'll tell you about the most popular one that we've ever done. We've actually done a couple. One was called Fully Engaged. I did a series called Fully Engaged. And the whole idea was that you're not growing unless you're engaged in serving. And so I did this whole thing on Fully Engaged. But my favorite one is one that we did a number of years ago that really set us on the path we're on now with our serving. And it was called Positive Living. And it was actually an expositional sermon series based on Philippians 2. And so I just preached through Philippians 2, the kenotic passage, the serving passage, and I called people to constantly give up themselves. And so every week there were serving opportunities, there was a ministry fair, and I just built the whole series around it, 4 to 6 weeks on the need to become a servant. So you just preach on it. Secondly, you tie serving and membership, you tie serving to membership and to groups, and you hold people accountable. You tie serving to membership and groups, and you hold people accountable. How many of you have a membership covenant at your church that people sign? Okay, good. That's 3/4, maybe more. How many of you say in that membership covenant that in order to be a member at our church, you have to volunteer or serve? Let me see your hands. Okay, that's about 1/2 of the 3/4. How many of you hold people accountable when they don't do it? Yeah, okay. Yeah, a lot of like hesitancy on that. Some of you do. Here's a little tip. This is totally a different seminar, but if you ask people to sign a covenant and then don't hold them accountable to that covenant, the judgment's on you, not them. Now, it's partly on them, it's a little bit on them, but it's mainly on you. Because it's not the sheep's responsibility to hold the sheep accountable. It's the shepherd's responsibility. So what we say is, if you're a member and you are not serving for a reasonable period of time, we have the right to call you. And we call you and say, look, we've noticed you haven't been serving. You know, is everything okay? We're concerned about you. Maybe you've had an accident. Maybe you've been in the hospital. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you've had to go take care of your mother who lives in another state. Maybe something. We're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. But if they do not serve, they do not continue to be a member at the church. It's a strong source of accountability, but it's there. Same thing with groups. You know, we have our groups serve together. In fact, I would say 70% of our ministry system when it comes to new people getting involved comes through membership in groups. You become a member, we sign you up to serve, you get involved in a group, you get involved in serving. So it's a deeper, it's more of an intensive, advanced concept, but it's a big one. Here's a little simple one, but one that we often overlook. Make it easy for people to sign up to serve. Make it easy. I've tried to volunteer in some churches, and it would have been easier for me to complete my 1040s than to sign up to serve. I mean, you had to use the number 2 pencil, you had to darken the circle completely, you had to give your mother's maiden name, you know, you had to have 4 references and 3 background checks, and you had to have, you know, a guy named Vinny from over in Queens come over and acknowledge that you were a good guy. I mean, let's just make it a little easy. I mean, how much information do you really need for somebody to, you know, volunteer at the church office? Yeah, if they're volunteering in children's ministry, you need a lot of information. I mean, you know, let's run the background check. Let's do that right. But if they just want to work the refreshment table on Sunday, I mean, you know, like name, address, and like a valid driver's license, that should be enough, okay? You know, you don't even really need a green card, honestly, to do that. We'll cut that out of the tape, don't worry. For international, you know, distribution. But make it easy. Make it easy for people to sign up to serve. Use your connection card. You know, it's very common, if this is for those of you who know the assimilation system, it's very common on the back of our connection card, we say, you know, I would like to serve on, and we give a list of dates, and people just check the date. And that's all they have to do. You know, they check it, we do the back end. Just like groups, you know, they sign up for a group, we do the back end work. So make it easy for people to sign up to groups. And here's a big point that I snuck in here just before the break. So put an asterisk by this one. This is sort of one of those heart areas of the ministry system. And it is to ask not, sounds like a John Kennedy quote, right? Ask not how few do we need, but how many can we mobilize? Ask not how few do we need, but how many can we mobilize? Once you train yourself to always ask that question, you'll have an abundance of volunteers. Because the old way of thinking is, well, we really need 3 people to make that children's ministry work. We could probably get by with 2. Lord, give us 2. Just 2. Are there not 2, Lord? You know? And so instead of that, saying, okay, how many could we mobilize? And you do the quad thing that we talked about earlier, and you divide that up, and you start thinking about, well, it really would be nice. In an ideal world, you know, we'd have 2 people working check-in, we'd have 2 people, you know, working security, we'd have 3 people in there with the kids at all times, and we'd have 2 people do cleanup. So in an ideal world, we'd mobilize 10 people and not 2 people. And so then go after the 10. Well, then if you miss 10, you get 7, you're still going to provide a much better experience. So the thinking inside of church has always been the thinking of scarcity. We're never going to have enough. And I want you to shift and think abundancy and say, how many can we mobilize? Does that make sense? Let's say that out loud together. Ask how many can we mobilize, not how few do we need. And then the last one, a little quick step here, is never turn away a volunteer. The cardinal sin of the ministry system is turning away a volunteer. Volunteer shows up at your office. I'm here to serve. What do you have for me? Gosh, you know, I don't know. You know, the person who's in charge of that's not really here. Maybe you could come back next week. Not a good thing to have. You've heard me talk about the principle of spiritual readiness, that God gives you evangelistic fruit according to your evangelistic preparation. That's another seminar. But you've got to build the barns before you get the harvest. You've heard me talk about that in other seminars. Same thing with volunteers. You've got to prepare stuff for volunteers to do before volunteers show up to do stuff. So, you know, keep a file. This is stuff volunteers can do. You know, if you go over today on the other side of this wall and you say, look, I want to volunteer, we've got database stuff you can do. Now, we're going to let you, you know, edit people's giving, but we'll let you take people off the mailing list because their address came back. And we've got some filing that we need to do. We've got some sorting that we need to do. We've got areas of, you know, volunteer stuff. We've got paper for you to cut and place holes for you to punch and, you know, all that other stuff that you can do. And so we always have a place. And so you never turn away a volunteer. Now, the only caveat would be, again, and I hate to say this again, but children's area. you know, somebody just shows up off the street, I want to volunteer in children's area. Well, that's great. You can be the guy who stands outside the door and, you know, collects the tickets or something. We're going to let you come in with our children. But you see where I'm going with this. By and large, never turn it away. Okay, I want you to write down some things you've taken away from the morning. What are some things you're going to go back and evaluate and consider, pray about, talk about? What are you going to do?